We're in our second shiur in our series of shiurim on the Matnos Aniyim, and we're speaking tonight about the mitzvah of Peya. We learned last week that there are a variety of mitzvos in which are limited to Eretz Yisrael, and in which we are commanded to leave over part of our produce, part of that which grows on our fields and our trees. We're commanded to give over to Aniyim. We spoke last week, is this mitzvah more along the lines of the mitzvah of tzedakah? It's a mitzvah incumbent upon a person. It's more like the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's primarily geared towards taking care of those who are poor. Alternatively, is the mitzvah instead something much more analogous to the mitzvahs like Trumos and Maisos? Is it really considered to be a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz? Is it really considered to be a mitzvah which stems from the kedusha of the ground itself? Tonight we're speaking about Peya. I want to speak about a couple of different, maybe two main questions in regards to Peya. I apologize for a couple of people here who were here when we learned Nidarim last year, and we spoke about some of this. So I apologize for the repetition, but I know it was good chazara for me. So, I anticipated maybe for some of us also. But let's start as follows. The variety of halachas, the makar for Peya, is found in Parsh Kedoshim, Vayikra, Yutes, and Yud. And the Torah seems to have both a los ase and an ase. We'll begin with just a bit of a hakdama. Torah tells us in regards to Peya, uvekutzuchem es ketzir artzuchem, when it comes time to reap the produce from the ground, lo sechale pa'as sadcha liktzor, you should not reap, you should not take from the corner of your field. That is the mitzvah of Peya. That is formulated as a lav. There is also a mitzvah asay. The Torah tells in the next pasuk, la'ani v'lager ta'azov osam, that you should leave it for an ani and for a ger. There's both an asay and a mitzvah, and a mitzvah lo sa'asay. There is some discussion in Rishonim as far as the relationship between the lav and the asay. The Rambam does write that if, as an example, even if I violated the lav, even if I neglected to leave a corner of my field for Peya, so one thing that the Aseh does is, it's a lav ha nitak la'aseh. That even if I did violate the Aveira and I did not leave my corner of my field, I took the produce from it, I'm still allowed to take that produce and to give that directly to an ani, and that fixes my violation of the lav. So the Torah has both a lav and an Aseh. And the Aseh, at minimum, does have the ability that if I took it by mistake, I didn't leave Peya, I can now give it to an ani, and that can fix the lav, and that's why if I violate the lav, I'm not going to be able to get Malkos. That's one point by way of Hakdama. Second point by way of introduction. We'll elaborate on this in a little bit. But Rashi, that the Peya has to be Basof Sadehu. When you start to reap from your field, now what's the end of your field? It all depends on where you start from. So whatever you start from, that the Rashi says in Perush El Torah, we'll elaborate this in a little bit, that you have to leave Peya basof sadehu. At the end, that's where you are going to leave the Peya. The third thing, just to point out, the Or HaChaim has an interesting diuk in the pasuk. The Or HaChaim says, how come it begins by speaking in Lashon Rabim, in plural, uvekutzuchem es ketzir artzuchem, when all of you are going to be doing this? But, says the Or HaChaim, but the lav of Peya, lo sechale pa'as sadcha liktzor, is said in Lashon Yachid to an individual. Why begin in Lashon Rabim and then go to Lashon Yachid? So the Or HaChaim says, because as follows. We start talking Lashon Rabim because really it does apply to the masses. But we want to be explicit. You shouldn't think that it applies to the masses and is irrelevant to me. That if I'm very poor and I'm struggling, maybe I shouldn't have to leave Peya. That if I'm very poor, maybe I could be exempt. So the Torah begins in Lashon Rabim that this is a mitzvah incumbent upon everyone. And it says in Lashon Yachid to highlight, no one should think that they're an exception. The Torah is speaking to the masses, but I'm very poor and I can't afford it and I'm not included. So says the Torah, but Lashon Yachid, no. Each and every single individual is included in the klal. Every single individual has to come over and leave over Peya. That is all just a bit of an introduction. We leave the corner of our field. We leave the corner of our field. That means the end of the field, Rashi explains. It has both an asay and a losa asay. Even if I violate the losa asay, I could still fix it by then giving it to an ani, even if I didn't leave the corner. The Or HaChaim, it applies to each and every person. The last point by way of Hakdama, the Rambam, Hilchos Manos Anim, and Perek Aleph, the Rambam tells us it applies to fields. The Rambam writes in Halacha Beis, Ukashem Sheminiach Pesadeh, Kach Be'ilanos. The same thing is going to apply not only with fields, but also with trees. We're going to have a similar kind of Halacha Peya, of leaving those for Aniyim to be able to reach. That's all just an introduction. I want to speak about two topics tonight. One is a question about the location of the field. Where on the field itself do I have to leave Peya? Where do I have to leave it? And the second is going to be a very yisodist question about what exactly I do to fulfill the mitzvah. But let's start like this. Where do I leave it? So the Pashup Pshat in Chumash, as Rashi explains, is I have to leave it besof sadehu. I have to leave it at the end of my field. Meaning I started reaping over here, and I go all the way, and at the end, that's where I'm going to leave it. That's the simple pshat. If you look in the Mishnah Meseches Peya, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, however, we have a discussion there amongst different Tanayim. Is that always the case? Do I have to always leave the stuff at the end of the field? Tanakama says, Nostin Peya mitzchil hasada ume emtza'ah. That a person can fulfill Peya, the simple pshat of Tanakama. If you would leave Peya, you should leave it at the end. But if you would leave Peya from the beginning of the field, or I would decide that the middle of the field, that's the place that's going to be Peya, that would be Chal as Peya. It would be Chal as Peya. And therefore, an Ani could come and an Ani could take it. And if an Ani would take it, he'd be exempt from Chumos and Maestros, like an Ani is from Peya produce. So that's Tanakama. Comes along with Shimon, and Reb Shimon says, Uvalvacha yitain besof kashir. Reb Shimon says, you always have to leave Peya at the end of your field. That's the real location, you always have to leave it. But, says Reb Shimon, if in addition to the end of your field, you also want to say that other areas of your field are also Peya, that you're allowed to do. That you're allowed to do. So if I want to say, not just the way end, I lift that, that's my real Peya, but other stuff also, that's Chalas Peya. Both Reb Shimon and Tanakama, though, assume other areas of your field you could establish as Peya. Just Reb Shimon says, no matter what, it's only Peya if you did leave the end of your field, I left it alone, for Aniyim. Why is the mitzvah considered to be limited to the corner at the end of the field? I have a lot to reap. Why is Peya only at the way end? What's the svara for that? Why would the Torah demand that, albeit again with some Tanaim, thinking there's some flexibility? So the Gemara Masech Shabbos and Daf Chav Gimel quotes the Deya of Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said, why is this so? So Reb Shimon said, Bishvil arba dvarim amra Torah lahaniach peya besof sadehu. The Gemara Masech Shabbos tells us that there are four reasons why you have to leave peya at the end of your field. Four reasons why. What are the four reasons why you have to leave at the end of your field? So one reason, says the Gemara, is because of Gezel Aniyim. If you couldn't leave it at the end of your field, if you weren't going to for sure leave it at the end, what would I do? Let's say I have a relative who's poor. So what I would do is, I would wait until there are no Aniyim around, and I, wherever I was up to reaping, I would say to my cousin, I would say, okay, this is the Peya. And he would just come and take it. But the Torah wants Peya to be something which all poor people can get. So by knowing that it's going to be at the way end, I can't trick the other Aniyim, I can't trick them from being able to get it. I can make it accessible to all people. How do I make it accessible to all people? Because everyone knows it's at the end, and therefore I can't say, like, wait, oh, no one's around? I tell my cousin, who's a little poor, I say, go, grab the Peya. That's the Peya. That's answer number one. That's one reason. The second reason is because of Bittul Aniyim. If Aniyim don't know when you're going to make your produce as Peya, so what are Aniyim going to have to do? They're going to have to wait at your field 24/7 until you go and you declare it as Peya. But since I know it's a very large field and it's only considered to be Peya at the way end, so if I see that you start working over here, I know I have a couple hours. There's no way he's getting to the end of the field for a couple of hours. So the Torah said you have to leave Peya at the end of the field, not just so that he'll get it, but we don't want a Bittul Aniyim. We don't want the Aniyim to have to wait all day. They're going to know this way they can better predict when it's going to be done. That's in the best interest of the Aniyim. The third reason We'll see why it doesn't matter. The third reason the Gemara says is Mishum Chashad. That what's going to happen? People are going to think that you aren't that frum. Because they're going to look at your field. They're not going to see where the Peah is. And they're going to say, oh wow, must be this guy. He didn't leave over Peah. Must be he didn't leave over Peah. So what do you do? We have a specific area where Peah is supposed to be left. And that way anyone that's walking by, if they see, oh, that must be the Peah, they can better be able to clarify. It's a way of people looking and not judging you and not thinking that you aren't fulfilling the mitzvah of Peah. What's the fourth reason? The fourth reason is to protect us from the wealthy owners of the field that are going to lie to get out of the mitzvah of Peah. What's the guy going to say? The ani is going to come to the rich guy, the owner of the field. He's going to say to him, okay, so like, where's the Peah? So depending on what he's up to, he's going to lie. He'll say, oh yeah, the Peah was over there. Sorry, too late, you missed it. Or he'll be able to talk around it. The fact that we know exactly where it is, I know that's the location. It's going to be Peah. He can't pull any tricks. He can't pull any tricks and avoid it. Those are the four reasons that the Gemara offers in Maseches Shabbos why Peah has to be left out in the field. Again, with Machlokesim and Tanaim, are there exceptions to this? Why do these reasons matter? So on the one hand, it's an intriguing kasha that Reb Chaim Kanievsky asked in Derech Amuna. Who is the author of these four explanations? Says the Gemara, who's the author? Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is the day on the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia, Maseches Sanhedrin, that is Darshinan Taima Dikra. Reb Shimon is the one that says, you always have to look for the reasoning behind the mitzvahs. And therefore, Reb Shimon says, and if I know the reasons, I can have halacha lemaisa impact based on the reasons. That's Reb Shimon Shita. But as Reb Chaim Kanievsky in the Bir Halacha to Derech Amunah Hilchos Manos on the Emperic Beis Halacha Yebeis, I don't understand. The Rambam Paskins, not like Reb Shimon. The Rambam Paskins that were not Darshin on Taima Dekra. The Rambam Paskins, we don't look for the reasons in mitzvos in the way that we're going to Paskin in Halacha Lemaisa. That's not what we quote. The Rambam says, I'll look into reasons in general. But ask Reb Chaim Kanievsky, why is the Rambam quoting Reb Shimon Bar Yochai? Reb Shimon Yochai is Darshin on Taima Dekra. He says the reasons matter so much. Okay, the Rambam mentions reasons sometimes in Mor Nevuchim, in the end of certain halachas, but not stam here in the middle of Matnos Aniyim. Why is he mentioning it? Ram doesn't paskin this way. Comes along, Reb Chaim Kanievsky offers the following pshat. The Chazon Ish writes that even though lo darshin on time and dekra, lo darshin on time and dekra, that in general we don't paskin based on the reasons for certain mitzvahs, that's not true when the reason is so pashut and so obvious. These explanations of Reb Shimon, even if I, in general, think I can't paskin based on Taima Dekra, even if I can't say that, for here, for sure, I could. The reasons are so pashut, that we would say, Darshinan, in this case, Taima Dekra. In this case, the reasons really matter. Says Rav Zilberstein in Chashukei Chemet, no, it's Zilberstein week. Says Rav Zilberstein in Chashukei Chemet on Maseches Peah, he says, I'll tell you a nafka mina from this idea. The nafka mina is the following. What would happen if you're the owner of a field and you know that if I declare the middle of my field Peah, there are a niyam around right now. And a niyam are going to come and they're going to get the Peah. And I know that if I wait until the end of my field and I only call that Peah, no one's going to be around. Everyone's checking out. You know, it's like you're in like, you're in like Guilford, New York, and you know you're going to like finish the Peah like after Camp Misora ended, when like there's momish like no one around anymore at that point in time. So the shaila is, at that point in time, do we say, just leave the Peah in the middle? Just leave the Peah in the middle. Why? Don't wait till the end. Says the Chashukei Chemet, says Zilberstein. Ordinarily, we would say, absolutely not. The Torah says, we assume, pa'as sadcha, you have to do it at the end of your field. That's undoubtedly what we would say. That's the halacha, only at the end. But says of Zilberstein, it could be, and I want to emphasize the words, could be, it could be that dafka, for Peah, we wouldn't say that. How come? Because in this case, darshin on time of the Dekra. In this case, we go based on the reasoning. And what's part of the reasoning? At least two of the reasons have to do with what's in the best interest of the aniyim. And even the other reasons of chashad and things like that, No one's hanging out in Guilford in the middle of September. I would say if anyone, like, hears this year from Guilford, you know, that, like, lives there all year round, like, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, I think. I think for now we're going to be okay. So then what it... So says with Zilberstein, it could be that you could even do it in the middle of your field. Adkan, the first topic. Let's just chazer what we said. We spoke about the mitzvah of peya, you leave it at the end of your field. It's an ase and a losa ase. We spoke about how everyone has to do it, even if you're poor. You still have to leave peya from your field. You do it from fields, Rambam says you also do it from trees. We spoke about which part of your field. So it sounds pretty clear in Chazal, but in Chumash, ideally, the end of your field. There is the machlokes in the Mishnah and Peya, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. What if I would leave it from other areas? Would it still be Chal? That's a discussion. Why am I leaving it at the end? What we saw is that there are reasons given in the Gemara. Those reasons, Chaim Kanievsky suggests, which I think is a good deek in the Rambam, are not just agadata, tameh ha-mitzvos. They actually become part of the halacha. That these are reasons that the Rambam paskins, and that may have implications if the reasons don't apply. Maybe we would tell you you could leave peya from different areas. General clarity thus far. 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Next. Yes. Saying why is Rambam quote the reasons? The Rambam doesn't usually paskin like Rav Shimon that we like paskin the reasons of a mitzvah. Because when the reasons are so obvious and so easy, then even the Rambam agrees that we're darshin in time of the Quran, that the reasons really matter. The only time the reasons don't really matter is when it's like a little bit of a fancier reason. It requires like a little bit of digging deeper and the like. Okay. We'll mention one more Shaila. One more question which comes up. This is very, very fundamental. It's a very, very function. And you can see different formulations. It's a question that we'll start with asking one question and we'll note the way the Ktso seems to say that. We'll speak about one or two nafkaminas and that'll be hopefully a very, very good usage of time. The chakira that some of the achronim ask is as follows. If you look in the Torah Zraim, look in the Torah Zraim, Mesach Peya, Omud Lamed, in the Sefer Torah Zraim. If you look in the Sefer Mitzvah HaMelech, more of a contemporary Sefer and Sefer HaMitzvot, Mitzvah Kufchaf, you'll find it in the Brisker Rav, in Mesach HaTemura, talks about it, albeit in a bit of a fancier way. What exactly is the Mitzvah of Peya? What exactly is the Mitzvah of Peya? On the one hand, I could argue, the mitzvah of Peya is a mitzvah of nesina. You have a mitzvah essentially to give part of your produce to an ani. It's nesina to an ani. Okay? Just like as an example, I have a mitzvah of like nesina for truma or nesina for meiser. Nesina to give the truma to a kohen. Meiser to give nesina for meiser to give the meiser to a levi. I have a mitzvah to give it over. Alternatively, the pasuk itself has an interesting formulation. That maybe the real mitzvah is a mitzvah of aziva. Maybe the real is a mitzvah of leaving it. Meaning, I don't give it to anyone. The mitzvah is not a mitzvah of nesina. The mitzvah is really a mitzvah of aziva. All I do is I leave the field where it is, and essentially I call it hefker. I leave it where it is, and I call it hefker. That's a question many of the Chorim ask. The Ktsos goes one step further. The Ktsos says, if the mitzvah is aziva, you know what that tells me? What that tells me is, what is the status of the peya after I declare it peya, before an ani comes to take it? Who's the owner of it then? Is it ownerless? It's hefker, and no one really owns it? Or does it already belong to aniyim as a whole? Have I already essentially declared it belonging to aniyim as a whole? We have a very similar concept with the matnos kahuna. Discusses in Maseches Chulin and Daf Kuf Lamed. This is the context of the ktos. Truma. After I separate truma, does the truma already belong to all the kohanim? I just get to choose to who? Or does it not yet belong to the kohanim until they come and they pick it up? Says the ktos the following chiddush. It's a very famous ktos in Siman Reish Mem Gimel. The ktos says, here's a difference between matnas kahuna and matnos aniyim. Matnos kahuna, truma, the second you declare it as truma, it belongs automatically to all of the kohanim. It belongs to all of the kohanim. Matnos aniyim, when it comes to peya, says the Rambam, that's just ta'azov osam. That's just aziva. It has not yet become the aniyim's. I've left it. I've declared it ownerless. But it does not yet, there's aziva, it does not yet actually belong to the Aniyim. Who cares if it belongs to the Aniyim yet? It's just me leaving it or not. Why does that really matter, again, if it's an Aziva or not? So the Tzos tells us, we'll give you two nafkaminas. One nafkamina Rav Elchanan has in Kovei Chiurim. What if you're like really not a good person? Like top tier not a good person. You are like, what is it, like the opposite of Robin Hood? You don't steal from the rich. You like only steal from the poor. You wait, you're a wealthy guy, and you wait until it's declared peya, and you go and you steal the peya before the ani, or you take the peya before the ani takes it. Have you violated an isser of gezela or not? Says Rav Elchanan, if I understand that it already belongs to all the aniyim, so if you come and you take it, that's called an isser of gezela. But says Rav Elchanan, if you look in the Rambam, it sounds like there's no isser of gezela yet. All it is ta'azov osam. I left it, but it doesn't yet belong to the aniyim. Right now it belongs to no one. So if I take it, I didn't violate gezela. You did violate the mitzvah of ta'azov osam. You're supposed to leave it for the aniyim to come take it. But I didn't violate the isser of gezela. I didn't violate the isser of stealing it. It did not yet really belong. Not yet really belong to the aniyim. Yeah. It relates to Shrayos, what? That's the essence of Rav Elchanan. That even though it's not my field and I'm not an ani, that all of Klal Yisrael is responsible for ensuring that it gets left for them. So that's the other question. We left over that we're not talking about. Yeah. The Ketos assumes that when he does that ziba, it means I'm just leaving it and I'm not transferring anything over. There's no transfer over to aniyim. If I'm more active, I'm like, it's more of a nesina, then it transfers ownership off. It's Ketos' assumption. What's another nafkamina? What if a katan comes and takes it? Am I considered to be, is that a kiyum of the mitzvah of peya or not? Is that a kiyum of the mitzvah of peya or not? A katan can't be kona things. A katan can't be kona things. A katan wants to come and take peya. Is that in line with the mitzvah of peya? So says the Ketos as follows. If I would have understood that it belongs to all of the aniyim, so a katan who's an ani, he comes, he takes it. It already belongs to him. It became the owner of all the aniyim. He comes and takes it, and ani got it. You're totally good to go. That's the mitzvah. And ani got it. But if the mitzvah, if it's just aziva, says the Ketos, when an ani comes, I'll read you as follows. I want the point to be a little bit clear. When an ani, sorry, I should say it differently. This is really nafkamina. If a katan takes the peya, is he the owner of the peya midah oraisa? Be clear enough, nafkamina. If a katan comes and takes it, is he the owner of the peya midah oraisa? If it belongs to all the aniyim already, and there's a question of who's going to get it, so once he's the one who has it, says the Ketos assumes, well, on some level, it belongs to the aniyim already, so he's kona it. But, says the Ketos, I hold that's not true. I hold all it is aziva. I leave it right now, it's hefker. Just aniyim are the ones who have the right to come and be kona it. Well, if a katan comes along and a katan takes it, a katan does not have the ability to be kona midah oraisa, and therefore, since right now it's hefker, if a katan would take it, so I fulfilled the mitzvah because I did an aziva. But it doesn't belong to the katan because it never really got transferred over to the katanim. So what the Ketos assumes that maybe this shaila, nesina versus aziva, that maybe part of the shaila when it comes to aziva is to what extent have I really sort of left it. If aziva says Ketos, it doesn't mean just leaving it, but it's not yet really been transferred to the aniyim as a whole, which means that if someone takes it, no isser of gezela. And if someone comes by, and a katan can't own a midah oraisa, yeah.
Does that mean, maybe there's enough to mean that if an ani steals from another ani, maybe they all
no, once any individual ani takes it, it sort of does become his specific.
How does it,
that's a question, okay. The question you have with Manas Kahuna, if it's Mamana Sheva and aniyim, is how exactly it works. Is it more like everyone else sort of like loses their rights, but I'm not really gaining more rights? Is that the way of saying it? That would work better for the Ketos. Is that we all have one level of ownership and I'm being Mosif, in which case it's more Vechidus that a Katan really would be good enough for that? Those are important questions. Yes, Zach? So probably not, because Pei is not really Kadosh. Which is a surprise. I don't know anything. I was surprised that it wasn't, but I thought like you, but we're wrong. But at least I'm in great company. Okay. Let me just try and chazen what we did tonight. What we tried to do tonight is the following. We tried to point out that the mitzvah of peya is fulfilled at the end of the field. Mitzvah of peya is incumbent upon owners of fields as well as owners of ilanos, owners of trees. The mitzvah of peya, even if you're poor, you still have to come along and leave peya. It has a lav and it has an asay. We saw two discussions with the mitzvah of peya. Number one, dafka and peya, at the end of your field, the reasons may be more important halachically. The reasons may be more important halachically. Those are darshin and time of dekra. These are part of the mitzvah itself. The second thing we saw is a very fundamental hakira about aziva versus nesina. If you have time, the Brisker Rav thinks you can be mechalek. Sometimes it's aziva and sometimes it's nesina. Maybe initially it's considered to be aziva if I just left it there. But says the Brisker Rav in Tzmura, maybe if I mistake, I picked it up already. Now I have it. Now there may be a mitzvah of nesina for me to actually give it to Anim. If I didn't do the aziva, maybe a mitzvah of nesina kicks in. But those are all important discussions about the nature of the mitzvah of peya. Hopefully, again, we're learning a bit about peya, and then we'll maybe one more week on peya, like Echech and things like that. Next week, we do have, after that, at least one Thursday, I'll be in Chutzlaris, barring the coming of Mashiach, and hopefully, which before those trips, I know if you're all like me, you're get a little bit more kavana. So we'll see what we could do. Hopefully this chus of all of our learning can help us out.